From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, covert projects and underground bases with Richard Sutter. But here's what's happening. Well, get ready for this one. People getting cosmetic surgery in India have brought back to Britain a new gene that allows any bacteria to become a superbug. And scientists are warning that this type of drug resistance could soon appear worldwide. Though already spread into India, the new superbug gene is being increasingly spotted now in Britain and elsewhere. Experts warn that the booming medical tourism industries in India and Pakistan could fuel a surge in antibiotic resistance as patients import dangerous bugs to their home countries. Now, the superbug gene, which can be swapped between different kinds of bacteria to make them resistant to most drugs, has so far been identified in 37 people who returned to the United Kingdom. Now, this gene has also been detected, this is what's concerning them, in Australia, Canada, parts of the United States, the Netherlands, and Sweden. The researchers say since many Americans and Europeans traveled to India and Pakistan for elective procedures like cosmetic surgery, it was likely that the superbug gene would spread worldwide. And they're concerned about infections that cannot be stopped. Oh, well. Police are shocked when they pulled over a motorist and found a live cat marinating in oil and peppers in this guy's trunk. Officers in Buffalo heard the cat meowing when they stopped Gary Korkick, a 51-year-old, running a stop sign. They checked the trunk and found a four-year-old Navarro in a cage, his fur covered with oil, salt, crushed red peppers, and chili peppers. Mr. Korkick allegedly told police he was planning to cook Navarro because he was ill-tempered. He also told officers that the neutered male cat was pregnant. Navarro has now been taken in by a local animal rescue workers who have cleaned him up, and they plan to put him up for adoption. The guy has been charged with animal cruelty. Stocks and interest rates fell sharply as more bad news chipped away at investors' view of the economy. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 265 points, and all the major indexes fell more than 2%. The Dow has now fallen 4 days out of five, and it has lost almost 320 points in just the past 2 days. And well, home sales still continue to just stagger around. How far and how long will these mortgage rates tumble before the summer silence filling many residential real estate markets is broken? Despite a steady decline this summer that has trimmed the average rate on a 30-year fixed loan to about 4.49%, which is a historic low, home sales and mortgage refinancing activity remain mired in the muck of job uncertainty and underwater loans. As she continues to monitor these situations for us, is Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine, so the rates are very low, but nobody's buying yet. How come?
Rates it's not economic to buy, George. If your income's falling, your expenses are rising, and you expect prices to drop, you're going to be very hesitant to buy. It's more attractive to rent. So the economics aren't there. In addition, we've got a market that's very skittish about what federal policy is going to be. We have the federal government saying they're turning to housing finance reform. We've got a big conference sponsored by Treasury next Tuesday. The House Finance Committee says they're holding big hearings on the future of the Housing Finance Committee, and now we have the Fed saying they're going to reinvest their rollovers from mortgage investments into treasuries, not back into the mortgage market. So you have a lot of noise going on at the top, which has not marked this market to market. It hasn't cleared. So you have it's very much a federally managed market, and you have the Fed saying they're going to consider all sorts of big policy changes. So that's enough to chill anything.
Absolutely. And Catherine, it appears these loan modification programs aren't working either, are they?
They're absolutely not. They're absolutely not. So, basically everything we've done so far is to bail out the banks. The amount we bailed out the banks for the mortgage market was enough to pay off every mortgage in the country and more. So, You know, it's as my I used to have an uncle who was a colonel in the Army. He'd say it's stupefying.
Yeah, you know, and he's right. Catherine, thanks. In a moment, Gerald Celente joins us with some of his trends research. Thousands of British online banking customers have fallen victim to a very sophisticated attack by cyber criminals who have stolen thousands of pounds from their accounts. About 3,000 online banking customers have been victims of a computer virus attack that simply emptied their bank accounts while showing them fake statements so the scam goes undetected. Experts have described the attack using a Trojan virus as the most sophisticated and dangerous malware program ever created. Your thumbprint might soon be the key to an afternoon candy bar if you're so inclined. A Massachusetts-based vending machine company is joining the growing ranks of companies that are field testing new technologies. It's called Next Generation Vending and Food Service. They're experimenting with new biometric vending machines that would allow a user to tie a credit card to their thumbprint. Next Generation is currently testing about 60 of the biometric machines in various locations in the Northeast. Scientists who have studied the Great Pyramid at Giza have questions, and they're hoping that a futuristic robot will help solve some ancient mysteries. A robotics team from Leeds University would send one of its inventions into the 4,500-year-old Egyptian structure, though I think it's much older than that, to explore a tunnel that no human has been able to breach. It is blocked by a limestone door that has successfully kept out the curious. Researchers believe it is hiding something, and they want to know what it is. The robot will be able to drill through the door and take a peek at the beyond. The robot is being completed now, should begin its journey into the pyramid tunnels by the end of the year. Spacewalking astronauts relied on brute force to remove a broken coolant pump that has hampered operations at the International Space Station. Their first attempt at emergency repairs to the cooling system was thwarted last weekend by a large ammonia leak. This time, to everyone's relief, there was no burst of toxic ammonia from a stubborn connector, just a few frozen flakes that drifted harmlessly away. The urgent job repair, now expected to require just two more spacewalks, is considered one of the most challenging in the 12-year history of the space station. Without the cooling system, they might have to evacuate. Clear skies over these next few nights will afford a view of one of the flashiest meteor displays of the year. The annual Perseid meteor shower has been ramping up in intensity since this past weekend, and viewers from around the world have been delighted by views of these bright streaks of light darting across the sky. And who continues to monitor the skies for us? Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Stephen, this is going to be another great view, huh?
Absolutely, George. It's wonderful to be back here on Coast with the report to each and every one out there that this particular meteor shower is really ramping up. I've been watching it, as you would expect, like a lot of Coast listeners. And the activity started over the weekend, maybe 10, 20 meteors an hour. But right now, folks, as you're listening to Coast to Coast, or wherever the skies are dark, look high into the northeastern part of the sky, that is particularly after midnight, local time. And, George, this shower, I think, will get much, much better. It peaks actually tomorrow, Thursday night, into Friday, when observers probably will get to see, and I'm going to be very optimistic on this, maybe 50 or 60 of these meteors per hour. And we've been watching them north of Phoenix in the dark skies because the moon is really not interfering right now. It sets, as we know, in the west with those beautiful planets in conjunction. But in summary, it's going to be a fantastic shower. And George, what's so amazing here on Coast is that every one of these meteors that people see are about the size of a grain of sand. It's hard to believe.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, moving at about 150,000 miles an hour. And we're down here in San Diego heading over to the USS Carl Vinson tomorrow to do some other media stuff. But, hey, tomorrow night we'll be out there out in the ocean. I can't think of a darker place to watch the skies. And we'll be excited to, report about this particular shower. It should be fantastic. And we're so excited about it that we just wanted to let everybody know that our affiliated website for our aviation side is a website called photorecon.net, where we talk all in detail about everything going on there. And a salute to our good folks in the United States Navy. And I thought you would like that, George, knowing that you serve proudly, too.
Stephen, just so people don't confuse these meteors with UFOs, What do they look like as they dart
across
the sky?
Well, George, it's very simple to really answer that question. They move fast. These objects move incredibly fast, and a lot of them leave a trail behind them, like an aircraft's contrail. But I have yet to see, as many people, of course, report UFOs darting at different angles, maybe stopping and changing direction, going 90 degrees. These go straight. And, folks, you'll see them coming out of the northeastern sky, literally pouring out of the sky, we hope. And, you know, I'm so excited. After we talk, George, we're going right back at it, as you would expect, to keep and count those meteors.
Go for it, Stephen. And Dr. Sky's website and Catherine Austin Fitz's website, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Gerald Celente joins us for the hour. Trendsresearch.com is his website. And we're going to take a little look into the near future with Gerald Celente next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Gerald Celente, founder and director of the Trends Research Institute. It is the number one trend analyst website, and what he does is monitored very heavily by people in the know. He regularly provides business and industry with customized presentations and research studies in a number of trend categories, and he's with us this hour. We'll take calls later with Gerald Celente. Hey, Gerald, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, George?
Good, Gerald. Gerald, it seems to me that in order to beef up an economy, to get it steamrolling again, you gotta have a war. And you know what? You've been thinking this. I know you have. What's going on?
Well, we're very much concerned about that, and we said this since the beginning when we announced that there would be a bailout bubble, and when that bailout bubble burst, it would be followed by a great war, and we see it already happening. Listen to what Fidel Castro said last week. He said that if NATO and other countries, the United States, begin to board Iranian ships looking for whatever, it's going to spark a nuclear war. We don't know if it's going to spark a nuclear war, but we do know that the Iranians are not going to tolerate other countries boarding their ships. And that's going to happen in a few weeks, in September. That could be the hair trigger that sets off this war, because there's no way out of this economic decline other than the obvious, which the government won't do because they're incapable of doing, and they're too tied into the multinationals to do it, and that's to bring production back to the United States.
And is that what a war does, Gerald? I mean, during World War II, obviously, we saw what happened during that period where, you know, even the automobile industry stopped making cars. They started making tanks and other vehicles for the war effort. Is that what would happen in this case?
No, it won't happen like that at all. This is a different war. We see with the wars being fought, there'll be extensions of those kind of wars. These are wars that are being fought by the soldiers of the Fortune 500. We've never seen anything like this. There are ostensibly more military contractors, i.e. mercenaries, in Afghanistan than there are U.S. soldiers. This is new in our lifetimes. Who ever heard of mercenaries protecting our embassies and our troops as they are now? So this is really a war that's being, it's profiteers. It's what Major General Smedley Butler called the most decorated Marine in history until he died. War's a racket, and this makes it very clear. Go back, you know, look at those old movies, George, of World War II. The entire nation was fighting that war. And this isn't what it is now. This is just, these are wars of profit.
And how can we even consider this, Gerald, with what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan right now?
It is. It's inconceivable. And we just heard Secretary of State, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, you can't make this stuff up. George Orwell couldn't have written a better script. Here she is in Hanoi announcing, remember, we fought the Vietnam War. Now they are our allies. We're making strategic deals with them for, check this out, for nuclear capability. They're going to be buying reactors and processors.
Nice.
And she said that the dispute going on between the United States, between Vietnam and China in the South China Sea over those islands is of United States national interest. No, it's not. It's no more our national interest now than Vietnam was then. They're losing in Afghanistan. They're losing in Iraq. We are now in Pakistan. I got an idea. Let's start another war.
What does your gut tell you? You've looked at these trends. What's going to happen?
We're concerned about Iran. That's the one. And something going on with Israel and possibly Lebanon. That's heating up as well. When all else fails, we've been saying this over and over, they take us to war.
Yeah, they do. And here we go. And plus, we're looking at something else, too. An incredibly low popularity rating of this president. And, you know, the guy needs a diversion. And a war is a diversion. There's no doubt about that, Gerald.
It happened with George W. Bush. He was extremely unpopular before 9/11. And then when terror struck, the nation rallied around him. And they will do the same thing with Obama.
That's right. But, you know, you've got a window, a small window, because with the George W. Bush, look what happened. After his popularity zoomed after 9/11, it waned again and then hit the lowest ebb ever for him. And, you know, it was all over for him.
But as long as they get through the elections, and that's what they're doing now with these bailouts, they just ponied up another $28 billion for teachers and unions, and those are the people that vote Democratic. So this is just manipulation. It has nothing to do with regenerating the economy. What did we go through? $800 billion worth of stimulus money, and it did exactly what we said it would do. Nothing. All it did was enrich the few. And as Catherine Austin Fitz just said about there was enough money to pay off everybody's mortgages, but they gave it to the big bank. I mean, you can see, as I said, Orwell couldn't be making this stuff up.
You know, you and I were talking 2 years ago, Gerald, when you were pinpointing the problems before anybody even saw it. You were pointing it out on this program and on your website, trendsresearch.com. Why didn't they just give every American a $100,000 voucher to buy goods in this country rather than do what they did with that TARP money?
Because it's a criminal operation. Look at the charges that are being leveled against these brokerage firms and these banks. They literally get away with murder. And as we said a long time ago, a matter of fact, when Bush was in office and Henry Paulson, the former chairman of Goldman Sachs, was the U.S. Treasury Secretary, came out with the TARP program. We said that Washington was hijacked by Wall Street. And when you look at the names of the players going back, you know, of course, the Clinton administration and on, you know, whether it was Robert Rubin or Larry Summers or Timothy Geithner or now, of course, his aides. And we look at the head of the Commodities Future Trading Commission, Gary Gensler. You just look at the names, look at the faces, look at the places. Oh, it's brilliant. They just brought this new guy, Lou, in to take over Erzak's place for Office of Management Budget. This guy was a genius with Citigroup. You know that company that we all own a chunk of? And he got $900,000 pay bonus from the TARP money and the stimulus bailout that went to Citigroup. This guy was enriched by nearly $1 million. And what million? Yeah, nearly $1 million. So it's an inside game. They have taken over the country at every level, George. Whether it's – I love that story about that little girl last week that they busted her in Portland for having a lemonade stand.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what this country's come to. They're smacking down the little people at every level. Your car goes over a double yellow line, boy, they're after you. If you don't go to the left now, and I thought this was just an email that was going around. I didn't know if it was truth until a friend of mine just got nabbed. If you see a cop stopping somebody on the right-hand side and you don't go into the second lane, they ticket you now. And so what they're doing is they're squeezing the little people with taxes, you name it, while they're enriching the rich. They're giving them all our money. What did Freddie Mac just came up with? They need another $2 billion.
Yep, they need more money.
And then what did they spend already? $150 billion? They're guaranteed for hundreds of billions more. Where's this money going to? It's going in the money of the too big to fails. We now have 10 banks controlling 80% of the action. A few control agriculture. You will go in every field.
When we come back, we're going to give you an opportunity to talk with Gerald Celente. We haven't done that in a while, so... your calls are next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Richard Sauter joins us as we talk about some caves and tunnels and also covert operations. And when we come back, let's take some phone calls with Gerald Celente, the trends researcher, next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Gerald Celente with us. Gerald, you know, as Catherine was talking about, the mortgage rates are now at an all-time low. People aren't buying houses. They're renting, I guess. Is that smart? Probably, huh?
I would think so. There are 20 million vacant homes right now.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, and those don't count the ones in old cities that are run down and dilapidated. We're beginning to work on our top trends for 2011, and one of them is going to be homesteading. There are a lot of young people out there that are living at home, they can't find jobs, have big debt from college. They're around this country, and in a lot of the old cities, there are great old houses and great buildings in disrepair. And it's time to rejuvenate this country. We don't have to build anything new. That construction is far superior than the junk they're building now. These kids should get out of their homes, onto the streets, and start getting these buildings and start a new homesteading to bring back America.
That's a good point, Gerald. These lenders should say, with all these houses that they now own, should simply say, look, we're going to give you a deal of a century. You know, if it's a $200,000 house, give it to them for $25,000. Just, you know, let's start moving these properties. Would that work?
Yes, and not only those, but to bring back the old cities. That's what we really need to do. And to start bringing it back to the way when this country used to operate at the best. And when instead of this ridiculous suburban sprawl and all of these malls. So when you go, I just took a trip throughout the Western Pennsylvania Eastern Pennsylvania and New York State, north of New York State.
Gorgeous.
And oh my God, you go to these places like Carbondale and Binghamton and Endicott Johnson. They used to make shoes in Johnson City. You see these beautiful houses, just empty, old barns, beautiful barns. Start to cultivate the land. Let's go back to what made the country great. And that's, to me, is the way to redo it. Retrofit it for the 21st century. Get off the grid. You could do it now with the technology. There are a lot of bright young people that their minds are going dead, sitting in front of their Twitters and whatever else, with mommy and daddy paying for their cell phones and room and board as they can't find a good job. put them to work. Get them out of the house.
Let's go to the phones. First time caller, Everett in Hawthorne, New Jersey. You're up with us. Hey, Everett, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for responding. It's the first time I've been able to get through in months.
Perfect. Go ahead.
I'm 67 on SSI disability. Been in my home since 1948. My property taxes are the whole of my Social Security check. You haven't said much about property taxes. I have made many efforts on behalf of the Bergen Seniors Council, of which I am a trustee, to rescue our homes from property taxes. They are illegal by the state Supreme Court. Judge William Botter in 1975 declared that the use of property taxes to finance the public schools is unconstitutional. and it is also unconstitutional by the Fourth Amendment of the Bill of Rights.
Well, Gerald, but what are we going to do about that, though, Gerald?
Well, when
that's
we
my
came,
question.
When we came out in 2007, we came out with our top trends. It was tax revolts, and it was about property taxes, and we called it the coalition of the cash strap. This preceded the Tea Parties and all of this. It's criminal. And it's going on continually, and people are going to have to continue to fight it. And these school, by the way, when you look at this whole thing, this whole mythology, you know, we have to keep paying our teachers and keep all those teachers in there. You want to talk about a bureaucracy that's not working? Our educational system stinks. It goes back to Reagan, and I remember when it was a nation at risk, and then becomes No Child Left Behind, and they make up every two-bit name that they try to tack on this thing like they're going to improve it, and then Obama comes out, oh, we have to save the teachers' jobs. No, let's restructure this entire system. I hear what this gentleman is saying, and it needs to be changed. As a matter of fact, I was just on Fox yesterday with Judge Napolitano, yeah. And that's exactly the issue he was talking about.
All right, and Everett, you had a question. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
What can I as an individual do to save her? I'm going to lose my home in 3 months.
I don't know. I just don't know. And people have to band together and fight it together and try to find like-minded people. And by the way, there are new books coming out about how to fight this. And I know it. I forgot the name of the book, but I one just came by my desk on how to fight these property taxes.
And you know, Gerald, a lot of cities, if the property taxes go uncollected, they then sell them to investors. And I guess after several years, if the individual in the home has not paid the property taxes at all, it takes first precedent over the mortgage company, and the guy who now owns the tax gets the house.
It's a criminal operation.
Let's go west of the Rockies in Fullerton, California. We've got Naomi. Go ahead, Naomi. It's your turn.
Yes, George. By the way, very belated happy birthday to you, George.
Well,
I'm the same age as you a few days later, the 11th. Mr. Celente, I just want to know, what is somebody that's on fixed income, like myself and my older brothers and my older sister, they're in their 70s, and my older one brother, he's 73. I mean, he had a successful business in New York that he started, him and his friend, in 1967, a year and a half later, was bought up by Crooklyn Mellon Publishing Company. I mean, he put himself through Stanford and Harvard. He was in the Lieutenant JG in the Navy, and he even got his PhD from Columbia, and he's retired now, and he's living in one of best home, and he's got two. What did they do?
He's not alone, Naomi. Gerald, this is happening all over the place.
Happening all over the place, and it's going to get worse. That's the bad news. We just heard from the Federal Reserve, and only they could get away with this. When I make a wrong forecast, I never hear the end of it. And they come out and they say, you can't make this language up again. Once again, they say that the recovery has, quote, slowed in recent months, and that the pace of economic recovery is likely to be more modest in the near term than had been anticipated.
Well,
not
is that
had
a PR
been anticipated.
Statement? That's a great PR statement if I've heard one, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. We've been saying this all along. Do you know what the New York Times called it when we were saying that we were going to move toward a depression? They called what I was saying pessimism porn.
Pessimism porn.
Yes. Now I call the New York Times the toilet paper of record. So how can this change? I'll tell you how I believe it could change. Number one, this is perfect symptoms of empire decline, fighting in foreign entanglements while you're draining the treasury.
Yes.
We're at $1 trillion, George, when you put defense budget and defense off defense budget at a Pentagon budget of defense-related expenditures. We're at $1 trillion, and the money's going to a very few. Let's bring back the troops and rebuild America, number one. Number two,
We have to start doing business with each other. Again, once again, the numbers came out today on trade. Oh, it was way higher, our trade deficit, than expected. That's the language they use, than expected. No, it's not. But you know what? The trade surplus in China was far greater than they anticipated. So what we're doing, if we get, people have to start doing this consciously. We all have to make choices to change the system. And one of the things to do is break the chains. And the chains are the chain stores. Don't eat in chain restaurants. Don't buy chain food. Stay out of the chains. Support as much local. We have to start at the grassroots. No matter who it was, every one of the philosophers of the past, they always say the same thing. It has to come from the bottom up. And that's what we need to do, and everybody has to take action. Everybody has to speak out. We have to rejuvenate America, and it starts from the bottom up.
It's like Rome burning while Nero fiddles away, isn't it?
It is. And when you read quotes, by the way, from Cicero back in, I think, about 25 or 45 B.C., he said these exact things about bringing the legions back and about stop overtaxing the people and for the people to get back to work and doing what made the country great. It's repeating itself identically.
Peter is in Springfield, Massachusetts. Go ahead, Peter.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I have two questions. First is, I was wondering if this really is just a continental integration of economies with Mexico, Canada, U.S., or even a transatlantic economic integration with Europe. And also, secondly, real quick, is this just really a ploy to buy back our debt, our short and long-term debt from China?
I don't think it's a ploy at all. We fear that there's going to be a bank holiday. And this is a perfect scenario right now, what we're going through. Just look at this is a quote from The Guardian, a highly respected British newspaper. This is today. Markets dive as fears of protracted depression grow. And that's what we're saying. We're moving into the greatest depression. What we believe is going to happen, they're going to do a replay of the Federal Banking Emergency Act that they did in 1933. They're going to devalue the dollar. The way they did it the last time was they forced people to sell their gold back to the government. You know, they talk about, you know, a bank holiday, the run on the banks. There was no run on the banks. What people were doing, in those days, the dollar was pegged to gold, and you had gold certificates, and the people didn't want that phony paper money. So they started going to the banks, and they wanted it back. The government changed the law. They said, not only can you not get it back for gold, you have to turn in all your gold. The government made the people sell the gold back to the banks at $20.67 an ounce. When they got all the gold in, they re-pegged the price of gold to $35. They just devalued the currency. We are telling people now that in this summer, the heat of this summer, it's the perfect grasshopper and ant scenario. Start planning for the worst. We believe there's going to be a bank holiday. We believe there's going to be more terror. They're going to use any excuse that they can. Make sure that you can either get your hands on your money real quick, or I'm only speaking for myself. I want to make this very clear. I'm not telling anybody what to do. I am very heavily invested in gold, and I have my other cash divided between dollars. I used to be in euros. Now I'm in Swiss francs and Canadian dollars. This way you don't have all your eggs in one basket. So is this an international conglomeration? Yes, it is. Look at the European Central Bank. Look at the Federal Reserve. They're doing the exact same things. They're buying up the lousy debt from the big banks and the rotten bonds being issued by the countries. They're keeping it afloat and concentrating the power among a few big banks.
Okay, let's go now to Orlando, Florida. It's Gary's turn. He's to the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, George. How are you doing this evening? I am so glad you have this man on tonight. I have thought this through with a couple of people. We can take this country back overnight without a single shot fired. If you would keep buying a product in which they're trying to sell you the vote, and you keep buying the product and it don't work and it doesn't work, well, I have a solution. Election time comes, not a single person in the United States, don't go to the polls, do not vote. What would happen? Would that send a pretty strong message? Who owns this country? Who's really going to run it? For the people, by the people?
I don't think it would send a message because they don't care.
They don't care. They would take.
You're talking to the deaf.
If five people voted, Gerald, they would take those votes. They don't care.
Exactly. We have to break the system entirely. Again, we have to redo it from the bottom up. And that's what I want to make very clear. We can do it by our individual actions. I 100% agree that we can win back this country. In one of our trends journals, and I'm offering it free to everybody, our spring trends journal. Just go to our website and you'll see the contact information. It's about the coming great war. And we're sending it out because we want to avoid this. But the most important thing is that on page 23, we do a whole story about the 20% solution. There are 20% of the people that we feel in this country that want it to turn around and will take action at different levels to do it. We need a real American revolution, not with guns, but with minds. And now we have to do what we believe before it becomes too late. They took us into the Vietnam War on lies with the Gulf of Tonkin. They took us into the Iraq War with false information about Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda, which he did not. And now you're seeing this war porn like Time magazine just put out with a woman with no nose. We're not in Afghanistan to bring democracy. The story goes that we were there to get Osama bin Laden and to get rid of the Al-Qaeda. And now, according to the CIA and all the intelligence, there are only 100 Al-Qaeda left in Afghanistan.
Houston, Texas turn. It's Matt. Go ahead, Matt. We'll squeeze you in real fast.
Okay, yeah. Mr. Salente, Mr. Nori, great to have you. Great to talk to you all. My question specifically goes to the federal discount rate and the subprime mortgage market. I'm kind of hard-pressed to believe that when all these subprime mortgages were being sold, that the Federal Reserve didn't know what was going to happen when they raised the discount rate a quarter point or a half point. It was going to cause this collapse. Do you think there was some kind of collusion with the bankers and the Fed?
No, we don't think there was collusion. They had to at that time, and that's when we started forecasting that the collapse would happen. And by the way, the guy behind a lot of this was Robert Rubin, the Treasury Secretary under Clinton. And then after he left the Treasury, he went to Citigroup, and Citigroup was a huge buyer of the subprime mortgage junk. No, what happens is you started losing a devaluation of the dollar. So the dollar kept declining. Gold has gone up how many percent? 300% since all this began in 2001. And since then, the dollar's been on a steady decline. No, they had to raise them at some point.
Absolutely. Gerald, only about a minute or so left. What's new with TrendsResearch.com?
Well, we're putting out the summer edition of the Trends Journal just came out, and what I want to really warn everybody to do right now is really plan for the worst. You have nothing to lose by planning for the worst. If the worst doesn't happen, then you're prepared. And again, we're very concerned about a dollar devaluation and about a bank holiday. Those are the things that people need to watch out for. And there are opportunities. A fellow called from Springfield. Those are the kind of places, these beautiful old cities. There's a bridge there that's one of the most glorious that you ever seen. Let's bring back this country one by one, buy local, support everything American, and start speaking out against those that are telling us we can't manufacture again or that the game is over. It's not over.
Thanks, Gerald. Gerald Celente, telling it like it is. Up next, Richard Sauter joins us as we talk about covert operations and underground bases.